If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump, right? In today's episode, we answered listeners' questions, but this was after an intro portion. Today it was 52 minutes long. That's where we talk about current events and studies and fitness and a lot of fun stuff. If you want to skip around to your favorite parts of the episode, check the show notes for timestamps. That way you can kind of find out what you want to listen to. Also, if you want to post up a question that we can pick from, go to Instagram at Mind Pump Media. Now, this episode is brought to you by some sponsors. The first one is Brain FM. Now, this stuff is crazy, right? So this is music that you listen to that changes the state of your brain. There's music that'll make you more focused. There's music that'll put you in a meditative state, music that'll make you sleep better. It works. It really works. We've been working with them for a long time. There's a lot of science behind it. And actually, right now, you could try it for yourself and get 30 days for free. Literally, sign up for a month. Test it out. It's really weird stuff. Go to brain.fm/mindpump. This episode is also brought to you by Juve. This is red light therapy to speed up recovery, improve the appearance of your skin, regrow hair, even raise testosterone. By the way, the 49ers are now using this to recover faster. Go check them out. Get $50 off. Go to juve.com. That's juove.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump and get that discount. We're also running a sale this month on some workout programs. MAPS Performance is half off, and the Extreme Fitness Bundle of programs is also half off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and use the code FEB50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show. One of the simplest, easiest ways to get your gains moving forward again is to simply do this. Change the tempo of your reps. Now, check this out. Fast tempo reps build muscle. Slow tempo reps build muscles. Those in the middle also build muscle, but they all work best when they're new. In other words, change the current tempo you've been using to a new tempo and watch things move forward. It's really easy. You don't have to change anything else. Just change the tempo.
This actually used to be one of my favorite. It's been a while since we've talked about this.
I do this with music all the time.
You used to, what'd you say? Did you do this with music?
Yeah, man. That makes sense.
I was watching Seinfeld last night. It was that, that famous episode where Elaine dances.
Yeah. All weird.
The kick.
Yes. Dude, the kick it's in the thumbs.
It totally sells it.
I know. No, so this used to be one of my favorite things to do with somebody who's been lifting for a long time. And, you know, they've somewhat understand programming and they've been consistent. They eat well, all these things. And they just haven't manipulated this variable yet. And one of my favorite go-tos is, because most of these people are trying to build more muscle, hypertrophy, right? Is very few people ever follow a true 4-2-2 protocol. And I challenge anybody who's listening to this.
If that's 4-second negative.
Yep. Two second at the bottom and then 2 second back up, which is what they would, what they have deemed the protocol for hypertrophy, right? Like that's the hypertrophy protocol tempo. And if you walk in the gym,
nobody does that.
And you actually do like count that, you'll see like nobody actually truly does that.
Everybody does.
It adds an element of difficulty that people don't expect.
Yeah.
Everybody's 2 second down, 2 seconds up, zero pause.
Exactly. Yeah. And here's the thing, you have to be aware, and you know, it's, and a lot of this is because the gym still is predominantly young men, and young men have egos when they lift, and nobody wants to lift, you know, 30% less weight because they're weaker. They'd rather put more weight on, do a faster tempo and look stronger than everybody else. But if you're in the business of building muscle and you don't give a shit about if you're the strongest guy in the gym or not, but you care about, you know, body composition, changing your physique, changing your tempo to a 4-2-2 is one of the best things that you could possibly do. And you'll see most people don't do that. And even though you got to reduce weight a little bit, watch the strength gains.
Well, here's the deal. You'll gain muscle and gain strength, and it changes the rep range for you. So take a weight that you could do 10 reps with. And let's say your normal tempo is like everybody else, a 2-0-2, right? 2 reps down, no pause at the bottom, 2 seconds up, and then you do it again, right? That's everybody. Everybody does that. Don't change anything. Just go 4 seconds down, pause at the bottom for 2 seconds, come back up as fast as you normally do. Here's what will automatically happen. You'll cut your reps down by like 30, 40%.
Yeah.
So now you're going, you've changed two variables by simply changing one. By the way, all these speeds, now there's things to consider with the different speeds, right? Like you have to maybe go lighter. If you go slower, if you go fast, you got to have really good technique because risk of injury is a bit higher, that kind of stuff. But all that being considered, it's the simplest, easiest thing to change that changes your programming. It's very simple.
You can manipulate any one of those three factors in that timing. And I would argue even that a lot of women I train, like to get them to move weight fast is,
that's another one,
is completely game changer.
Totally.
Because and so that's the thing. It's just kind of like picking up on your habits of like what you're normally doing and what you tend to fall in line with doing because it's comfortable and it's what you're used to. Like, shake it up. Like, try that tempo switch, and it's going to.
I'm glad you made that point, Jesse, because that's true. Because obviously, if we were, maybe there is somebody who's out there who actually does follow a 4-2-2, right? Like that, but it's rare, very, very rare. Or maybe they even follow a slower tempo, right? They're just very, very timid. So they go really light and they go really slow and controlled. Teaching that person to do something explosive is going to give them the greatest change, right? Yep. Because it's the most unique or novel.
That's the key here, is to do something that's different from what you're currently doing. Yep. Here's a game that I like to play. I like to go to the gym. And this, I think, is more valuable for people who are more advanced. In other words, you're pretty experienced with your workouts. Here's a fun game. Put weight on the bar that you know is relatively light for you.
Then go have a sandwich.
Watch what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
You just
see who messes with it.
It's fun. No, yeah. No. Put a weight on the bar that you know is relatively light, and then say to yourself, I'm going to make myself get pretty close to failure with like 8 reps or something like that. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I'll put a weight on the bar that I know I could do like 20 reps with, and then my goal is to see if I can make it feel like I'm failing at 10. Yeah. And the way I do that is with my form and my technique and my speed. I'll slow down, I'll squeeze, I'll pause. Rather than adding weight to the bar, I'll make the weight feel heavier. And that has produced better results for me than just adding weight to the bar all the time. Now, adding weight to the bar is something that you want to do, especially in the first couple years of your training. But after a while, adding weight to the bar isn't the best, necessarily the best way to progress. Yeah. Then it becomes like, can I make this weight feel heavier? And that has to do with tempo more than anything.
Yeah, that's better in my game. I usually take the weight. Normally for my friend, I'll stack the same weight like in numbers, but it'll be in kilograms.
Yes.
We see what happens.
I actually, even with clients that like we're just starting out, newbie gains are coming on, I like to go this tempo route first because people tend to get sloppier with their form as you increase weight. And then it turns into a just get the weight up off your chest, or just squat it out of the hole, and mechanics start to get pushed back. And I just think that really stressing mechanics for the first few years of your training is so important, because if you lay that solid foundation of what good solid mechanics look like, I think you're better off. And you're hoping to make sure that you don't run into a lot of these nagging pains or poor muscle recruitment patterns because you got so caught up in the chasing weight thing and adding weight to the bar that your form has suffered. So I'd almost always rather, when I have a client and we choose a weight that they're moving at, and we're doing 10, 12 reps and they're getting stronger, I could tell. It's like, okay, I could go add weight to the bar, or I could slow the tempo down. Many times I would go that route first.
I see that with clients also.
Yeah, because then you can cue them more effectively too. And you can be like, you want to grip the bar and focus on bending it out, or whatever, like the cues you can kind of like work through as they're slowly bringing the bar down and pressing it up. You have a lot more opportunity there to make those micro adjustments.
I also love this tip within a set too, when you choose a weight that is easier than you thought it was going to be.
Exactly. So you start to make it feel harder.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so like I'd have clients sometimes where I'd put it on and it's okay, we're doing 15 reps. I could tell by the time they get to 12 and 13, like, oh shit, I underestimated. Yeah. I could have put 10, 15 more pounds easily.
Pause and slow down.
So then what I would teach them is like, hey, instead of like stopping the set and then adding weight, just slow way down. Take those last 2 or 3 reps and really slow the tempo down to make 15 reps really challenging. That is a really good solid technique that I don't see a lot of people use. They've been told, or they follow a program and it says, oh, it's 15 reps. And so they choose a weight they think is right, and they either underestimate or overestimate what that is. And then it's like, listen, you can go on the lighter side. And when you realize that you're going to get to the rep range, whether that be 12, 15, whatever the desired rep range is in the program, and you realize it's too easy or it was too light, then just slow it way down and make those last three reps really challenging.
It's so funny. I totally forgot about this. I just had a guy. So I work out in the morning. And if I go to a gym, there's one gym that I typically go to. And in the morning crowd typically is pretty consistent. So if you've worked in a gym for any period of time, you'll notice that the 6 a.m. crowd is always the same people. So this is a guy that I see. And if I go 4 or 5 days in the week, I'll run into him at least 2 or 3 days. So he's there pretty consistently and we'll say hi to each other, whatever. Anyway, he came up to me the other day. So I've now seen him, you know, if I go consistently to this place, because sometimes I'll work out here or at home, but I've probably seen this guy now over the last 2 or 3 years, right? So now we say hi to each other. It's all cool. So he came up to me and he goes, I got to ask you a weird question. I said, yeah, what's going on? He goes, I've noticed that you'll do the same exercises with half the weight sometimes and sometimes with twice the weight, but it always looks hard. He goes, what's the difference between when you're so much stronger and so much weaker? I said, it's not that I'm so much stronger and so much weaker. Sometimes I choose to make the weight feel heavy. Sometimes I choose to make the weight feel light. And he goes, how do you do that? So with my form, technique, and concentration. Sometimes the idea is to move the weight. And so I'm focusing on the movement itself and really getting everything to fire and just move the weight. Sometimes I'm like, I'm going to go half the weight. I'm going to try and feel the muscles.
I'm going to fire every muscle fiber possible with this lift.
And he goes, wow. He goes, you can do it. He goes, because it looks hard every time. He goes, I thought it was like had to do with your diet or whatever. So no, it's just how I'm approaching the workout. And sometimes I want to go heavy and sometimes I don't. But I'm always training with an appropriate intensity. And it really has to do with how you concentrate.
This is definitely a bodybuilding attribute or skill that a lot of
100%.
Bodybuilders are really good at this.
Really good.
Bodybuilders are really good at
They'll take a lightweight.
Yeah, they'll take an 8-pound dumbbell and just burn out their rear delts by
By doing a million reps.
Yeah, yeah. Just by just really concentrating and slowing it down and pausing in the flex position and the stretch position and there's definitely a skill and tremendous value to that, being able to target an area and to be able to make a lightweight feel super, super heavy.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about the longevity with your routine when you can do that. The only way you can get a good workout, that's why I said this is such a good tool for people who've been working out for a while, because after a while, like putting 300 pounds on the bar, you know, it's like, okay, I want to get a good workout, but I don't want to play with 300 pounds right now. I want to be able to do this with 150 pounds.
It takes a toll on your joints after all.
It could take a toll on your joints. And if my form and technique is off a little bit, you know, whatever, and it'll stress my CNS differently. So yeah, it's definitely a skill. But I bet you, and I'm sure these studies exist. If they did a study on a bodybuilder, I bet that bodybuilder will be able to fire as many muscle fibers with a lighter weight as they could with a heavier weight.
And
beginners can't necessarily do this because they don't know how to necessarily make this happen.
Yeah.
You know?
But if you can build, the muscle doesn't understand the pounds that are on the bar. It understands perceived intensity.
That's right.
And so if you can take 150-pound squat and fool the body and the muscles into thinking it's 300 or 400 pounds, the adaptation problem, you're going to build muscle from that the same way that someone's doing the 300 pounds.
By the way, if you not that they're always the best examples, because I think the highest level athletes are terrible examples for the average person. But here's an example where I think this kind of makes sense. If you look at like the top bodybuilders, the ones with longevity, the Dexter Jacksons that have been training and now they're in their 50s, they competed in their late 40s at the highest level, and you compare them to other bodybuilders who also did very well but trained very differently, you'll notice there's a difference in longevity. Like Dexter Jackson, still lifting weights, still looks good, still everything good. You know, Jay Cutler was very smart with his training. You got monsters like Ronnie Coleman and Dorian Yates who trained with the utmost intensity, not taking anything away from them. They obviously accomplished tremendous things, but the injury and the stuff that they did to their body versus these bodybuilders with longevity, it's Serge Nabre, another example. Like here was a bodybuilder who in his 60s, you know, Frank Zane, like, in his 70s, they still look amazing. You watch them work out. They have the ability to take a light weight and make it feel heavier than muscles. And now they have longevity in their training because throwing around super heavy weights at some point, you know, becomes like, okay, risk versus reward, you know, ratio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is this, you know, making sense? Yeah. Speaking of which, I got to make a comment on this. And this happens every single time I go on a ketogenic diet. Now, I'm not doing this for any fat loss or muscle gain reasons or whatever. I do this purely for two reasons. One, I think for me, it's a good idea to cycle in and out of ketosis once or twice a year. Metabolic flexibility, I think, is a good idea. I also notice cognitive benefits when I do this, which is the main reason why I did it. I just feel sharper. But I do notice that I do not really get sore or I don't seem to, like, the damage that it causes in my body when I lift weights on keto is so much less. Like, as soon as I start bumping up my carbs.
Is that just the inflammation factor?
Either the inflammation or the strength gains from the carbs, and the weight that I'm using is heavier. But I feel like I could do way more volume, way more frequency, not feel any soreness, versus when I eat carbohydrates, where I'll get like this deep soreness sometimes, which is really interesting. And I don't know if you guys—
What do you attribute it to?
I think it, I don't know. It could be the reduction in inflammation that the ketogenic diet tends to produce, or it could be that I'm stronger when I eat carbs, so I'm lifting heavier and that's causing more damage. I don't know.
What's his name? Dom DiAgostino?
Yeah.
So I just remember him like deadlifting like a substantial amount, like, and he's just been keto for a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, same thing, like low inflammation, but still had those like crazy strength gains.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I just don't get sore. And I just feel like I could train more volume, more frequency. I definitely noticed some performance drops. I think I know with carbs, I'm stronger. But I don't.
It's definitely a tough one to keep up.
What are your, I don't get sore.
What are your thoughts too on just the body has this crazy ability to adapt to like everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, our skin, our brain, our metabolism. Like, there has to be some sort of an adaptation process that happens with diet, also.
Of course.
And there's got to be something as far as a novel stimulus that happens too, metabolically or digestively, that happens by. I've always believed that there's got to be some tremendous, there's got to be some value to switching up the way you eat occasionally, just simply from that. Just that, like,
evolutionarily speaking, it makes perfect sense because you ate according to the season.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to eat the same foods that you will in the winter, that you will in the summer or the spring. Things pop up.
It's an artificial thing we've hacked,
you know,
in order to provide, abundance when we. So we don't starve. But yeah, I mean, we always followed the seasons. We followed what was out there, what kind of plants were out there, what kind of animals were available.
I could go to the grocery store and I could get any fruit or vegetable I want at any time of the year. Yeah. Any time of the year.
Yeah.
Like, there's never a season. You know what I mean? I could get strawberries 365 days a year, right?
Yeah.
We didn't evolve that way. So I think it does make sense, Adam. And I do notice most of the benefits of going keto, most of the benefits of adding carbs back in that first 3-month period, 2-month period.
Right, and that process.
And then I start to kind of plateau.
I feel that way kind of about almost every diet that I've done before.
Yep.
Anytime I change something up, I mean, and we used to talk about this a lot, right? At the beginning when we first started the show, we all were playing with different diets. And I remember you used to do a vegan day every week, I believe you were doing it for.
Once a week.
We used to fast once a month. We all ran keto. And so, you know, something that I've noticed is that whenever I tend to have any sort of like structured regimen, and maybe there's something to be said about that too. Like, you're making a change, so you're getting more structured again. Like, you probably intuitively eat most of the time when you make a decision that you're going to, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go keto, or I'm going to go vegan. Like, now all of a sudden you bring structure back into the diet, and there's probably some value around that also, right?
So, I can tell you the two things that are the big difference besides the carbs being gone, right? So carbs are gone. I the way I bump my calories up probably also, I would say, does definitely increase my protein as well.
Yeah.
So when I tend to eat keto, I also tend to bump my protein because I'm trying to make up the calories that I'm losing from not eating the carbohydrates. So it's coming from things like fish, meat, and eggs.
There's got to be some other benefit too, because I know it's, lowers inflammation in the brain, but like running on ketones versus like glucose, like it just seems like the brain operates better when you interrupt that. That sort of energy that you're introducing.
It does. And then, of course, I've worked with clients, so they were going keto for so long, they started to get negative effects. We threw carbs in and it was like a miracle.
Yeah.
Even the zealots, even the extreme people like Paul Saladino.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the evolution of his diet?
Like, if you're pure it's like carnivore, honey and fruit now.
Then some fruit and then some honey on top of it, and he feels, better on it. And it's true. They talk about insulin sensitivity going ketogenic. You know, if you stay no carb for too long, you actually start to become insensitive. You start to develop insulin issues as a result, and you have to throw some carbs in as well.
So, that's funny.
Yeah.
The thing that I noticed about going keto, I mean, I went keto way back when we used to talk about it a lot. I've never been the carb guy I was after that. So for the first time in my life,
changed your relationship.
It did, completely did. And the big takeaway I got from it, my favorite part of keto is the cravings. So somebody who is a major sweet craver and loves carbohydrates and has always been challenged with hitting protein intake, by switching to a higher protein, allowing more fat in the diet, and a lower carbohydrate type of diet, it's actually made the discipline around not reaching for carb snacks or sweets way easier for me. Way
it's
easier.
It's weird. I had the same experience with the carnivore diet. It was very much like at night, especially, was when I would get those cravings to go grab something that was like either like peanut butter, you know, chocolate, like something, you know, something sweet, you know, I'm like looking around. And I just don't have that. I don't have that as much anymore.
Do you get peanut butter, actual peanut butter, and put it on chocolate, or do you do Reese's?
Yeah, bro, actual peanut butter on chocolate.
On chocolate? Yeah. And is it Hershey's? Is it just plain old Hershey's
chocolate? Yeah, well, no, it's like, it's a very, you ever heard of like Tony's? Like it's
Tony's Chocolonely.
They're so good.
Yeah, dude. So that's the one. So my wife is a
now you're gonna get me back on the chocolate train.
Yeah, bro.
That sounds really bad. Bro,
that's the only girly thing about you.
I know.
You like chocolate so much.
Valentine's Day's coming up.
I picture him eating it too like this, like the tub between his legs, and he's fucking scooping the peanut butter. He bites the chocolate like this, and he
No. Yeah. Oh, you know what? You're probably right. Do you put the chocolate on it?
I'm watching my Discovery Channel show.
Yeah, how do you
put the peanut butter on the chocolate, or do you bite the chocolate, eat the peanut butter?
Bite the chocolate.
I told you.
And then puts a spoon.
Why would I smear it?
Katrina's a dipper. She's like, she's not a child. She's apples and peanut butter is like her.
So good.
Yeah, that is like one of her favorite snacks ever. But then that's what she'll do. Or cinnamon is good. You know what's really good for people that have that craving or struggle with that? I actually think the little individual packets was one of the smallest things, smartest things ever. They have those little dip packets.
Oh.
Like I think Jif makes them. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They come in and they're already measured out, so you know how many calories you're getting, and they're perfect for dipping. And then it's like, because one of the things that's dangerous is
anytime
dipping
I need to lose weight, I'm just no peanut butter, no like that's
you drop weight
100%. Yeah, that alcohol, of course.
How many calories of that? Well, hold on,
you've seen what I put in my protein shakes?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's crazy.
Yeah. What is it?
It's gobs, you know, it's like
four tablespoons.
Yeah, it's more like
that's like 400 calories. Hold on,
more than that.
Do you do processed peanut butter like Jif and Skippy, or do you do like the legit? Like,
I do the legit, but I love the process.
Can I just tell you, bro? Like, I didn't realize there was that big of a difference till I got married. My wife is like, she's like, no, we are not getting that crappy peanut butter. So we get the like where it separates. You have to fucking mix it.
Yeah,
oil. Yeah. That's pain in the ass. Then the other day, I was at the grocery store and I bought the old processed shit.
Yeah.
It's very processed.
It's so processed.
But it's like candy peanut butter.
It is like candy. Yeah, that's why. Yeah.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. No, I don't feed that to my
How do they make it like that? It's like it's smooth,
I have no idea.
It's different.
But it's delicious. You know, they've mastered it.
It's very, very
There's
different.
Some stores where you can like put the actual peanuts in and then you can actually get it like
Knob
made.
Hill, you can do that. I do that.
They do that at Knob Hill? Yeah. I know there's some grocery stores I've been to where you can actually like make the peanut butter right there.
That's the move.
Yeah. I had to cut that habit out. That was like when I was bodybuilding, that was like a go-to. Like peanut butter was like the treat.
Oh yeah, bro. Yeah. But the processed peanut butter, I just did it the other day and I'm like, oh my God.
I haven't had it in so long.
This is like candy peanut butter. It's not actual peanut butter. It's like candy peanut butter.
Yeah.
It tastes so different.
Yeah, it tastes different. Sure. It looks different. It mixes, spreads different. It's all the above.
Oh, I could eat it like a whole bunch of
like
it
just
myself.
Spoons of it. Yeah.
Oh man.
You know, the peanut butter talk. I cannot believe the virality of that.
Oh, of the PBJ?
And I tell you what, I mean, when I was first giving you guys a hard time, I just thought like,
it's silly,
man.
Dude.
I bet you know what's funny about you, Adam? I bet you there's like 15 things like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like regular stuff that we all do.
Yeah.
That you have
he does it
out.
In a totally quirky way.
Like always.
Are you guys watching Adam. The people though? You know what's really interesting to see is that there's some people that are just like, oh, that's ridiculous. And then there's other people that are like open minded. They're like, you know what? I've never done that this way. And then they're doing it and they're like, I'm forever changed.
I think there's always like a method to your madness in any of these things. And so it's like, okay, well, I can see why you think that way. It's just, I don't think like
I
that.
I think it's weird that anybody would be married to it. Who cares how you put your peanut butter and jelly on? If somebody says something that makes sense, why would someone get mad?
Oh, I know. I mean, that's just, you probably don't like me. That's right. You know how our audience is. Like if you're a Sal fan, don't like me. You know what I'm saying? So
all right,
like,
let me ask you this. What sock do you put on first, left or right?
Left.
Okay.
Left,
most people are left.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Does that not have anything to do with right or left hand?
I have no idea. Now, I know you're ambidextrous, right?
Yeah. So I do.
You're bi-handed.
Well, I try to. He's a buy handy. I usually try to like put my socks on standing up. So I do the whole like balance thing.
Yeah.
Like the Starrettes actually brought that up in their
test. So I'm glad you brought that up because this has been on my mind a couple times. And I catch it's myself doing more of this stuff as I've gotten older. And we talked about this one episode a long time ago with Ben Greenfield. And I do think that there's something here like, I don't know whether we like how we teach it or like whatever.
It's like daily things.
Yes. Like there's always something in your day where you could choose the easier path.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Or you could just make it a little challenging for yourself. And it's just good to do that. And the things that I like walking upstairs, I'll do weird stuff where I calf raise with a little balance. Like it'll I'll step up, calf raise, bounce.
I'll go sideways upstairs.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on a second. I wish I saw you do that.
Yeah, I do stuff like, that. Or when I put on socks, I'll balance on one leg while I put it on and then switch over and balance on the other foot and do that. I do that with putting my underwear on, things like that. I challenge myself stability wise. Because I've noticed I've lost it. If you don't train that shit, it goes.
No, you're right. 100% sitting on the floor. That's another one.
Yeah.
Like sit on the floor. I play with my kids on the floor. Now I'm like, why am I uncomfortable on the floor? I need to start doing more of this, bro.
Yeah. Even laying flat, like on your back on the ground. And then I'll do basically the wall test, but like flat and just watch even like press into the floor. Yeah. Like it just helps like counter a lot.
Are you guys socks or underwear first when you get dressed? That's another one.
Underwear.
That's weird. So you go underwear first?
Oh, yeah.
So I had a doctor.
You go socks first?
Yep.
Really?
Hey, I'm about to blow your mind right now.
I'm waiting.
Okay. So I had a doctor tell me why you should always put your socks on first.
Because like foot fungus and shit.
Especially if you're in a gym.
Well, that's different.
You could carry a fungus on your foot, put on your underwear.
How many times you had a jock itch?
Huh? That's weird. I'm going to get real personal.
He puts his socks on and then he sits his naked ass on the bench. He sits his balls are resting on the bench.
I got to take care of this.
Don't worry, though. Yeah. No athlete's foot here.
In the shower.
Got gonorrhea, but I don't got no athlete's foot.
No, I don't want to add gonorrhea. Goddamn. No, I don't think I've ever had that. I know I've had athlete's foot a bunch of times, maybe one time.
So that's different. Okay, that's like logical because you're inside of a gym and that's different.
But now I always do it like that because he told me that one time.
Oh, see, if I'm home, I'm not, you know, but we've already teased me about that. I threw a t-shirt on and no bottoms. I'm like Winnie the Pooh.
Or Piglet. Or Donald Duck.
Is Donald Duck that way too?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
None of those characters.
Or the peanut guy.
Yeah, yeah. They never wear pants. Yeah.
You know what? I'm telling you, bro, the whole Disney conspiracy is real. All of them are naked from the bottom down.
Oh, God.
What do you think they're trying to teach kids?
Oh, God. Here we go.
There's so many innuendos and phallic symbols and things in there.
Weird.
Trust me.
Weird, bro. Hey, I gotta tell you guys a crazy story, dude, from my sister-in-law. She told me this morning, and I'm like, can I please share this? This is insane. So she's a nurse. She works in the emergency, but she also does like labor and delivery. And I know your Courtney worked as a nurse, so you must have heard.
Yeah, my Courtney does that.
You must have heard so many crazy stories from her when she would come home. She tells a story. This is insane. I gotta tell you guys. She was delivering a baby, and the cord was prolapsed and compressed, so she had to put her hand in and push the baby's head up off the cord and stay in there.
Oh, my God.
Holding it until she was cut out. Otherwise, she would have died within minutes. She's all doing this shit. Baby might die. Mama's freaking out, and she's in there, and she told me this, and I'm like, and it was.
Dude, that's like, give me like PTSD. It took
for 12 minutes. She had to do this until they could get to the operating room or get the instruments out. So the doctor said,
that's insane.
And I'm like,
did that just happen like last night or the night before? What?
Yeah, because she didn't reply to some texts. And then she gets on. She's like, sorry, guys. And she tells us this whole story.
busy saving lives.
Yeah. So I said to her, I said, that's crazy. That's crazy because, you know, we joke around in the fitness industry. We're saving lives, right? But, and I guess technically you could say that. But that baby and that mom, if she wasn't there doing that, that baby wouldn't be here.
I know. Just all those stories, you know, Courtney would come home and tell me. And then also, too, just even like providing medication and like getting the right exact like dosage and like making sure all these things are like completely. That's why she's so attention to detail. And it's like, you know, now she kind of helps out with our company, does emails and things. Like she was like really like had all this anxiety and like all this stuff about like doing work for us. And I'm like, you're not going to kill anybody. You know what I mean? Like you can relax.
Yeah. This is, by the way.
Oh yeah, you're right.
My sister-in-law's name is Kate Rothenberg. I want to give her a shout out. She watches the show. what cracks me up about your wife too is I know when you do your peptide or whatever, she preps it for you.
Yeah.
So she sets it up like it's a whole medical.
Oh, bro. Wipe.
I remember when
Adam and I are fighting like an old one.
Yeah, reused needles.
Like, did you use this? How long ago did you use this? Oh, give it to me. she couldn't even take that as a joke.
Like, I know.
She was like,
stressed out. Like, leave. Sitting Justin down and talking. You need to talk to Adam about this right now.
Yeah. And I'm all conditioned, like, oh, this is how it is. Yeah. You know, everything is so, you know,
so clinical. So my wife worked as a phlebotomist for a little while. And so she's seen me do the sub Q or whatever. She's like, it's not at 45 degrees. Put it in the whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
it works. Yeah. Put it in at the button. You're fine, bro. You're okay.
Of course, we're freaking out every nurse.
I know. You're not supposed to do it. And listen, our partner at MP Hormones is like, shut up.
Hey, speaking of partners, I have exciting news, right, to announce. Yeah. So this is somebody that we have worked with for actually one of our longest standing partners. We don't talk about it on the show that much because we actually didn't have a paid partnership with it. It was a company that when we first started that we all fell in love with, and we worked out an affiliate deal on day one. Now, over the years, we've done well. We've performed from them. Now, over time, they've noticed, obviously, that there's like, man, there's just these random huge spikes that we get from you guys. Well, it's because we randomly bring it up in conversation when it comes up. We've never formally advertised with them before. And so this year they signed a contract to actually do paid advertising, which is great because this is a product that I still to this day, and it's been, 8 years
now? Like a big secret. Who's the company?
Brain FM.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, yeah. Brain FM. And we've never done paid advertising with them before. They're paid advertising this year. And it's cool because that product is so fucking good.
I have it on my phone right now.
Always use it.
Listen.
So legit.
It's magic. It's actually no, listen, it's weird.
It is weird.
It's weird. So they have figured out how to get your brain into different states that they've identified with alpha waves.
Didn't we have the founder on it and talk about the science?
We did.
Mm-hmm. We did a long time ago.
And
right?
It's really weird. So do you know what? Okay,
he was talking about it to counter a lot of the ADD medication.
Yes.
If I listen
to Focus, Focus is a category. If I listen to that while I'm working, within about, it takes me about 7 minutes, it changes my state. I notice I'm all of a sudden,
my kids make fun of me because anytime I do any work, I'll throw that on because it just helps me to stay right there.
Can I tell you the number one the thing that pops up for me with Brain FM, a success story for me personally, that was just, and as I tell the story, you guys remember this because I know we all have a little bit of PTSD from this. Do you guys remember that plane that we took from Spokane?
Yes. It was the worst plane I ever
We got had. On, was it a propeller plane? It was, right?
It was a fucking chicken plane.
And we got on this plane. It was late, right? Late at night. It was crazy storming outside. We get in this plane and we all joked about it because it was a tiny propeller plane. But whatever. It was only supposed to be, a 2-hour flight or something like that?
Not even an hour.
Not even, no.
Yeah, it was an hour.
We get on there and I swear, I am not exaggerating. I know I could be dramatic. This is true. You guys will all back me up. It was violently turbulent.
I mean,
if you didn't have a seatbelt on, you were messed. You were fucked up.
I was laughing. I was like, this is ridiculous. No, it was worse than
bro, there were people on the plane that were crying. I heard there was a woman praying out loud. She was doing the rosary. Someone vomited.
Yeah.
If you didn't have your seatbelt on, you were thrown. And this is the success story. I get anxious on planes anyway. First of all, I have a level of anxiety that's higher than everybody anyway.
Yeah.
Put me on a plane. It goes up a little bit. You put me on a plane. And it was like, duh, 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 duh,
yeah, you might as well picture barnyard animals, just flying around in there and crates.
And I mean, it was up and down so violent that you feel like you're going up and down on a roller coaster. That's how big it was. I had my arms crossed. I had my headphones on and I had Brain FM Meditate. And I swear to God, save me. The whole time I was listening to Meditate and I was just, and we were good.
You know where else it works that I've used even with you guys? If we share a room and one of you snoring, it drowns that out completely. Mm. So if you put it, if you're ever like that, that's been a go-to for me. If I'm ever in a hotel room and I'm sharing a room with somebody else, if I put it on between the two of us, it'll drown that out. Yeah. I used to use it for the dogs when we had the dogs with fireworks and stuff like that. You could put it by the door and it would drown out any of the fireworks noise to calm them down like crazy. Like,
there's a lot of science.
We use it with Max anytime that we travel, especially if we don't have his Nest with us or whatever like that. We just fire up that. We have Brain FM on his iPad and all of our phones. And so No. And then I use it for focus. If we're, if we're working on something where we're having to do research or read or write a bunch of stuff down, playing focus in the background light has been like,
it's one of the companies that I use the most. Yeah. Like I said, it's on my phone right now.
You know, and since we've been working with them, and I don't know how much you go through the, I mean, they've changed the user interface big time. Oh, yeah.
So the sleep one that they have,
music options.
If I'm in a car or on a plane, and I can normally fall asleep pretty easily anyway, but one of the secrets is I put Brain FM on and I'm out like 3-4 minutes. And I'm asleep.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible product. Yeah, yeah, so I'm excited that we're officially partnered with them. I mean, we've always been working with them. It was something that we occasionally brought up every now and then, but they're officially on the sponsorship.
Oh, I wanted to say, Doug, maybe you could pull this gym up. So we're going to be at the Arnold Classic March. What are the dates of that? Let's find the dates on
March 1st. March 1st. Yeah, March 1st.
2 to 4 p.m. Pros Gym.
Pros Gym. We're going to be at Pros Gym March 1st between 2 to 4. Show up. We'll probably answer questions, hang out. I'd love to see what this gym looks like.
I'll give you the no thumb handshake.
Why do you do that?
I just to mess with people.
I don't understand. Yeah. I want to see what this gym looks like. It sounds like a pretty awesome place to work out. Yeah. Okay. So it's a pretty legit gym. This will be fun.
Yeah.
This would be a lot of fun.
It's not one that we went into last time, was it? Because when we were out there last time.
We went to one last time.
We did. And I'm trying to.
Doug, do you have pictures of the actual gym?
I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'd like to see what they sell apparel and stuff.
Because it looks like it's kind of in the same area.
It does look like the same area.
I've seen some pictures of Arnold being there and The Rock. And so they've
that looks like a bodybuilder gym. Through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the one we went into. Do you remember?
I'm pretty sure that might be it.
Was it an old world gym?
Oh, I don't know if it was a world.
And they have Arnold passes as well. So
you can't find a photo of the gym.
I'm trying to find one.
You know what you do, Doug? This is what you do. You type in Pros Gym Columbus, photos. And then you go to images. Yeah, and then you'll. And speaking of working out in gyms, you guys know Doug's brother might be working with one of the Mind Pump trainers. One of the trainers that went through one of our courses.
Oh, no way!
He was looking for a personal trainer, and so Doug went to our forum with all of our trainers.
So Doug's got a little side hustle on our business.
He's going to get commission. None of us.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to hear about this to see what it looks like for him.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's
because these are good. These are obviously trainers that listen to the show, and we have them in the forum.
Doug, okay, I found a picture here.
Okay,
this one on the right here.
Okay,
I'm not sure if that's the same one. There's also another one called the Powerhouse Gym.
Right. Nothing's coming up.
So maybe that's the one
power.
We went.
Might have been the power.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Switch. Yeah. But
that's what I see. I remember going to a gym that, and the building looked like the one that's on this picture.
Yeah, yeah.
That was either it was like a Worlds or it was a Powerhouse. So maybe
I think Powerhouse sounds like it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, wait, that is it.
The Pros Gym is here. The Powerhouse is here.
Oh, okay.
No. So
wait, the Powerhouse one is the one we went to.
Yeah, the Powerhouse.
Okay. That's not the same
that.
One.
I remember
not
that.
The same one.
Okay, that's not the same one.
Okay, all so right. We're going to Pros.
Yep, Pros Gym.
Pros Gym.
Doug, your brother, what are his fitness goals? Do you guys have similar build genetics?
I mean, like, he actually has better genetics than I do as far as building muscle.
Really?
He was always one that could put on size fairly easily. He's been very much into endurance type activities. He got into long distance cycling and. He's of the mindset too. He's one of these, no pain, no gain guys.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to really push things to the limit. And I've been encouraging him for a long time to just do some resistance training. Just, stop, change your mindset a little bit about it. So he's open to it.
Awesome.
He's going to try it out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Exciting.
So
yeah, that'll be exciting.
So I did. I posted on the forum for all the trainers and said to anybody in this area, and a couple people, raise their hand and here we go.
Can we order the Apple goggles?
Company expense?
Yeah, we have to figure out how to.
I've been kind of since we talked about it. I've been kind of like searching around like the different applications and stuff like that.
What can we do?
There's some cool stuff.
There is some cool stuff. So I mean, I know none of us are like big like F1 racing guys, but I saw the F1 racing feature where you can think about this for a second.
Hold on, real quick. How much money do you spend on things that you don't use after a week?
I know like the Oculus was fun.
And you know what he doesn't do it on his own anymore. You guys notice he pulls everybody in.
I know. I bought those Oculus.
Yeah.
I think I used it once.
Yeah, see? Yeah. And whose idea was it?
I mean, I still use it with my kids, I'll be honest.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were using it at the party the other day. Yeah, so, yeah. And I my dog didn't chew mine up. I do still use mine. There's been a couple times where I wish I had them. Maybe I'll buy your guys' from here. So I definitely would still kind of use it. Not a lot.
So could you play a lot of games on this? Like,
do you sit down and pretend that they give us
two? No, it's not even like that. It's literally for a spectator, just watching. So you're watching the race
fun.
On TV because you can see through the goggles. But then like in your peripheral, like so down here below is a virtual view of the racetrack and
so
the
you
cars
can look down, see the top
yeah.
view.
So yeah, so I'm like watching the TV like everybody else is, but then down below I can kind of glance down and I can see like a bird's eye view of the whole track and where their cars are. So just
so it gives you another layer of dimension.
Yes.
Of at what point do you guys think, or if at all, do you think watching TV with friends and family is going to be that where everybody has
for sure
goggles on?
For sure, especially if you're going to be able to interact.
Well,
I mean, imagine we're all watching the same thing.
But they have to make it feel like you're still sitting with people.
Dude,
because you don't want to be isolated.
It is.
Here's the
it
potential I see, though, too, is like skill acquisition, because they have like apps where you can learn music and it like literally lights up a key on the piano and it'll show you exactly it's right here and you push it and you do it with timing, almost like it's a game. And then, I mean, they have stuff like that too, where eventually I guarantee, like, instead of watching a YouTube video about how to fix something, you know, they're going to have like actual, like,
you know,
it's, animation is helping you.
Did you, did any of you guys ever watch the Gran Turismo movie I told you to watch?
No,
I did. I watched
you did.
It.
Good, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm, that's great.
Is that not fascinating as shit that a kid is like self-taught on video games is now like a fucking F1 race, like racing cars and stuff is crazy.
You know what I'm thinking about with these, with these goggles or whatever? Imagine the access now to hyper-talented surgeons.
Right.
Or people that have to do intricate work, they could put the goggles on,
right.
Have a, you know, a machine that follows your movement to exactly, and they could operate from a distance, which they've already done that, by the way. They've already done that with technology that's not good.
The gesturing is really interesting.
So imagine that. Like, you need the top heart surgeon or whatever, can't afford to fly to, but boom, they'll operate on you virtually.
So here's the hilarious one that I saw, though, that I was like, oh, this could be really interesting, like how people use this is the deep fakes, where basically like with your face, I could turn you into like Matt Damon, you know, like the face will just like augment over your face and you'll talk. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here with Matt Damon. But now let's imagine
him.
Like,
it's, no, I was thinking right
imagine
now,
it's your wife and it's like, oh, but maybe you're somebody else right now.
All right, bro, that's going to cause so many fights. That's going to cause so many
fights. Why are you doing it with the goggles again tonight?
You know why.
What the hell? Honey, I put your goggles on. Everybody looks like Denzel Washington. What the hell?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That'll be interesting.
That's not cool.
That's, I don't know.
That's not cool, bro.
I mean, it's better than going out and doing it, right? I mean, come on.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. It adds a new wrinkle. It's a little weird.
It is. You know it's going to be used that way.
I feel so uncomfortable with all of this. It's so weird. Like, you know, the direction we're moving is so. And we make parodies of it because we know it's weird. Like WALL-E, the movie WALL-E, when I first watched that, it made me very uncomfortable. Because of, and it was uncomfortable, not because it was a cartoon.
It feels too accurate.
Yes, because it was like, ooh, I could see that happening. Yeah. It made me feel super uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's, you know, I wonder how many people are going to adopt this, like just who you were wearing. Right now, it's really expensive, right? It's like $3,500 or something like that.
And it's all big and there's a wire, but you know that's going
to
change.
Yeah, that technology is only going to get better to where, you know, we're only so many steps away from it being contacts. You know what I'm saying? Like contacts in your eye, no one even sees it or knows it's in there. Like that's not far.
Talk about augmenting your senses so that you're more like a machine. This is so sci-fi, where I could look far away and I could easily focus in with this.
So this is what
changes the lens of reality for you.
A couple of years ago, we brought up this conversation, and the conversation I propose you guys is it going to be AR or VR first? And the prevailing theory is that AR is not VR. Everybody's talking about VR, and VR was the big hype.
Because it doesn't interrupt your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Well, not just that, but VR feels fake, whereas this just feels augmented and better.
Enhanced.
Yes, exactly.
Bro, just think about that.
Current life.
Think about where this is going to go. You know that there's already apps and technology that can read a person's facial movements and gestures that you can't necessarily pick up on and tell you the likelihood that they're lying?
Yeah.
You imagine wearing some shit like that, talking to someone, oh, where were you? Tell me again. And then you think, 75% chance that you're lying or whatever.
Yeah. You know? Turn your machine off.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you.
Do I look
Did you guys see the other? So
goggles on.
I don't know if I sent this over. I might have sent it to the YouTube group, Andrew. I don't remember. There's a video I sent, and this guy is wearing this, and it was on, was it 60 Minutes? It might have been 60 Minutes. I can't remember. And he's wearing like a white earpiece around his ear connected to his jaw. and it's basically connecting the internet to his brain, right? So they were asking him questions, like really tough math questions and history questions and stuff like that.
It took him like 3 seconds to come up with
an answer. And it took him a few seconds, and then he hears the answer and then processes it. It's like literally, like it's crazy.
This is where we need philosophers. We don't need scientists for this. We need philosophers because the question is not.
We don't even need philosophers. This stuff has been addressed in Stoicism.
That's philosophy.
My point is, if you read Stoicism, it still applies to today.
Well, what I mean by that is not like we need new philosophers, but we need philosophy to be valued. So, here's a good philosophy question, right? The story of the vampire lives forever. Okay, if you could live forever, only philosopher or somebody could think this would be able to answer whether or not it's a good idea. Scientists would just say, do it.
How long does it take you to be evil?
Yeah, or lose your mind, or like, does it change the value of life? Like, these are all questions that we need to ask.
Yeah.
Having access to all of the recorded information instantly in your brain so that you think it's your own thought and being able to augment your ability to the point where you're limitless. Is that a good thing?
Problem is, we're not made up that way. We're made up with we'll keep going until we get burned, and then we learn it's not. I mean, that's just how we are. We're designed and we're so far from living forever. So it's like, hey, let's increase it by 20%. Let's increase it by 30%. Let's live for 50% longer, and then we'll wait until we realize like, oh shit, that wasn't a good idea. Look at what's happening to society. Yeah. But that, isn't that wild where we're at? And I'm like the back to the Apple driving, all that, like it's pretty trippy to see how far technology's come that a kid could never get in a car, can learn how to drive in the virtual world.
And then make it to that level.
And then make it to the professional level and compete at the highest level, like actually be good at what, I mean,
yeah, but you know
what
though? Let's be clear though.
Yeah.
Okay, the game definitely was his training, okay? But what you're also dealing with is a highly gifted individual, because someone may be listening and be like, oh, this is how
It's not going to happen for everybody.
No, bro. Had he trained here's the real question. The real question isn't, was he able to do it with this video game? The question is, would he have been better had he done it in real life, the conventional way? Yeah. And that's the question that we don't know.
Yes, it is. I mean, here's the thing that you know is that's what makes this so cool is that it makes it accessible to a lot. To get into race car driving is not cheap.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it already.
I always wonder how the hell do kids
get into that? Well, that's why I don't know if it's been since like the pandemic, but I've seen more like virtuoso guitarists and musicians like that have just locked in on the skill to where I'm like, wow, there's just so many really talented people out there that just emerged all of a sudden. I don't know if that's just like
imagine me
and my own perception, but it seems to be the case.
I want with fitness, it's going to be very interesting as well. Although you're always going to have to contend with human psychology, which is always going to be the roadblock. Always.
Yeah.
But if beyond that, I mean, I could see just endless potential. Like imagine having something that literally shows you the intensity of muscle contractions while you're exercising.
I mean, I think we already seen an example of that with the tonal mirror bullshit. Everybody was so excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Human psychology is always going to stop.
You hear anybody talking about that bullshit anymore? No. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Where are you all at now? It's just so funny. I mean,
they got valued at $1 billion.
Oh, my God. Everybody was like, it's the next. It's like, it does all this cool shit. It's like,
you still got to get people to work out consistently.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's going to the thing that will have to disrupt that space or our space like that is like a pill that you take and then you're buff. You take. Like, it's as far as like.
So talk about a philosophical question. Yeah. People are going to realize very quick when that's invented that it is not going to give you the same
terrible idea. It's benefits. Just like, well, that's what's scary about this. Like this, the MIT thing, right? With the if you could skip
acquired knowledge,
you could skip all the learning and the reading and all to being brilliant. You don't need to do any of that because you automatically have a built-in Google in your head. Is that a good thing or not? I don't even need to test it to know it's a bad idea.
As of right now,
Neuralink. I mean, we're kind of
You see, the first human tests have been done with Neuralink. Had a human test it.
Yeah,
which is proof. Yeah, unless you could download wisdom. But for now, it looks like the formula for wisdom is time plus mistakes and, trying over and over again.
Yeah, you have to test it.
But if you could
obstacles.
Download wisdom, then I guess you'd solve that problem.
I mean, there is some possibilities there, Sal, right? Like you brought up right there, like how AI will get to a point where I can have a conversation with Justin and it could be computing, oh, 70% chance he's lying to you. Mm-hmm. You could also have AI that could support like, this is 80% risk to do this. This is 20, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, but that's not going to give you wisdom. Like wisdom is developed through time.
Okay, so go through the wisdom isn't the right word for it, but I mean, you
could get the answers.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Well, maybe they just get better at the like simulating, like they speed up that experience somehow by like simulating a lot of those obstacles that you have to work through like a video game.
Or they put you in a fake reality where 10 minutes is like 10 years.
Exactly. Wake that's up, what I mean. Yeah.
And maybe we're in that now, Justin.
Stop. And we just ended the podcast.
Yeah, I just had to get to there. Hey, I got to tell you guys. The Juve light, guess who's using it regularly now?
Someone we know?
My family.
Oh.
Of course. I got a huge family. So
I don't care. I had something else I want to talk about Juve, but go ahead.
My dad.
Oh, yeah.
So my dad's always my back. And I hired him a trainer, which has made a big difference. Finally got him to use the Juve regularly, and he's like, sold.
I think what Justin shared is an even cooler commercial. What is it? Is the 49ers. Oh, did you see that 49? We send it to the YouTube channel, the YouTube group?
I like how you said Justin. He didn't know what he was going to say. Like, what?
Yeah, what did I do?
Which thing?
I did something brilliant.
Give some good surprise yourself sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I did say that.
Yeah, no, that was a really cool commercial that they did. So, I mean, that's kind of cool to see.
So what did they do?
You didn't see it?
No.
Yes, you did. God, you were the worst about anybody sending you anything.
I'm honest, though. I'm telling you.
You know what we got to do? Is I'm going to put in my phone number, Sal DiStefano, and I'm going to send it to you as if you're sending stuff to yourself, and then maybe you'll actually watch it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is
Sal's going to be like,
dude, they have a whole recovery lab. Myself,
this is the smartest thing I've ever heard you say. I'm like, hey, I have a great idea.
Yeah. I'm so brilliant. I sit myself. I'm going to do that. And your phone's going to be Sal.
You get the AI voice thing and call me in my voice. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I'll definitely listen if it's me telling me what to do. Shut up. You're stupid.
No, Justin shared it with the group. And I think he shared it with the YouTube group too. Did he share it with you guys, Andrew?
Did you guys get it?
I saw it.
I don't think they saw it.
I think it was just with you guys.
Yeah, it's cool. It's right here. Yeah, so great ad for them, man. I thought it was. I don't know.
I love that. Of course, out of all the teams, I'm like, of course, partial to this.
I believe that we've got a great staff that can find the right players, keep the teams healthy, and recovery is a huge part.
Oh wow!
We found that red light therapy, and then furthermore, finding the right company in Juve to provide that for our players is incredible on the road to recovery. And each week you go beat yourself up. It's how quickly can you recover?
Boom.
The best players learn how to do this, find all the resources. We've tried to provide that for our team. You know, I think this is a company who's found lightning in a bottle with this thing.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah. So this is why
I think we need a tour.
I remember when we first met with Juve, we all thought it was, well, this is weird. Of course, it's got a lot of science and data backing it up. Okay. And it goes back to the 70s or even 60s even, some of the data on this. But what's amazing is how far, like this is massive. They've gotten so huge.
Yeah, no.
It works.
Well, and you know, too, when I mean, professional teams, they have the money, the budget, they have the resources, the people that are doing that are looking into the most cutting edge stuff. Yep. And so, you know, when you see a professional sport team adopt something like this, you know, it's like it's only
they've done their homework. They don't promote
100%. They don't have time to like fuck around with something that you sit in front of for 12 minutes. If it's not beneficial, those guys could be doing other things that are going to improve their performance or improve their recovery. And so if they've adopted that to do that, you know that that's something that's super valuable for the recovery for the athlete. So awesome. Pretty cool though, right?
Yeah.
Shout out is that am I reading that correct? This is the pre-script event that we're trying to go?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Here.
Yeah, so pre-script is doing an event here at Mind Pump headquarters. It's going to be, I wish I had the date here.
Yeah, let's
see. I know that pre-script is holding a certification course here, right? So Jordan is going to be doing that. By the way,
he's like one of the best in the space for
Yeah, like we've been promoting Jordan for a long time, and as far as like the guy's absolutely brilliant. We call him Beast, right? Because he's like X-Men Beast. He's just this big old buff dude that's super brilliant. And his certification course, a lot of our coaches and trainers have gone through it. He's hosting it here. I told him to come down here. Why don't you host it here? We'll do like a meet and greet with our listeners that come in, that actually fly in, that actually want to come do this certification. So you'll be able to do it in person here the day before. You'll get a chance to hang out with us inside the studio. So that was the idea, was that our audience that will come in here, and I think he's also doing some sort of a discount too for our people. Right. So
it's March 15th, 16th, and 17th. We're going to be meeting everybody on the 15th. There's going to be a swag bag that everybody's going to get, Mind Pump merch. And we're going to do a live podcast for the first 10 people who sign up.
In other words,
you can sit in and listen.
Sit in and hang out with us.
Now, the link, is that the link right there? We need a better link.
The link is not easy to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's pre-script.com/mind-pump-psl1.
We'll
have it in that show notes.
On the video, the guys are going to look, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, look, there's a company called Sleep Breakthrough that makes a drink called Berry Dreams that is a pre-bed drink that has been shown to improve the quality of your sleep and also help you fall asleep faster. Now, it's not like a sedative, won't knock you out. It's all about improving your natural sleep. So you have better stages of sleep, better recovery, better memory retention, and of course, a better hormone profile. Go check them out. Go to sleepbreakthrough.com/mindpump. By the way, you have to use the code MINDPUMP10 to get that discount. All right, back to the show.
First question is from CMOS23. Other than serious athletes, shouldn't 95% of training be unilateral so we can fix muscle imbalances and then avoid them in the future?
You know, this is actually a pretty good question. I can see the rationale behind why somebody may think this way. Now, there's the reason why I say no to this particular question, which is 95% of training. By the way, if you only ever train unilateral, you'd be totally fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
You could do that.
But you would be missing out on some potential strength and power gains that come from bilateral training because you're able to generate more force through the central nervous system when you're operating bilaterally. So you'll always be able to bench press more on a barbell than you will with two individual dumbbells, for example.
You're limited by load.
That's right.
We literally just had somebody call, a caller on one of our last quads, call in, and he's been listening to the show. I think he's listened to every single episode. He's gone through most all of our programs, but he's been working out from home and had incredible results, right? So he's seen all kinds of great results, and he's had 100-pound dumbbells that go to 100 pounds. He's modified all of our programs to do it at home. First time ever he got a gym membership, and he's blown away by the gains. He saw himself put 15 pounds of muscle on. He saw his deadlift, his bent, all these moves go up in strength, and he's been training for a long time. And the reason why he called in was because could this be possible? And our answer was that that's exactly the benefits of barbell training can be. And so bi-loading barbell training has tremendous value for building muscles, speeding the metabolism up, power, strength, all these things. Now, if I had a client who didn't really care about any of those things and they literally hired me for like at longevity and I just want to be strong enough and healthy enough and feel feel good. I love unilateral training and I have no desire to get that much stronger. I just want to be strong enough. Like then. Yeah. But if I had that same client, we hit a plateau and they're like, man, Adam, like we haven't been gaining any more strength and I'd like to get a little stronger. And we've been training for 2 years and all unilateral. And I go, well, we could pick up the barbell and we're going to see a nice little bump because you haven't done that. Or are you content with where you're currently at? And we can also keep going that route too. So that's kind of how I would approach it.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to stretch your capacity to produce more force bilaterally. That's just like a fact. And I know like even in the athletic realm, some people have made arguments just for always doing unilateral training because, you know, in most situations, like you're in a split stance or you're just using one arm versus the other arm.
Sure.
But to be able to train your body to, you know, maximize that potential of recruitment, you know, you're going to maximize that most effectively by bilateral training and then going back to, you know, utilize.
It's all valuable. And even with the athletes, I would say younger athletes will get more benefit from bilateral training than advanced athletes who've been training for a long time. And in which case then more unilateral training makes sense. But why does it make more sense for the younger athlete? You're trying to build force and muscle and you maximize that with barbells a bit more than you do with unilateral style training.
Next question is from SLB Anon. Are 2 days full body training enough to still see results if you're feeling burnt out?
Yes. Yes. In fact, for the average person who wants to maximize their time, who has a busy life, doesn't live for the gym, but they want a faster metabolism, they want to build muscle, they want to feel great, 2 full body training days, well programmed, with appropriate intensity, is perfect. It's perfect. In fact, throughout my entire career, well over 98% of my clients train this way, 2 days a week. In fact, Doug trained 2 days a week with me, got his deadlift up to 400 pounds. There's so much you could do with 2 days a week before you have to add a third day. Yeah. Now, the question is if you're feeling burnt out. You can even overtrain 2 days a week. It depends on the person. But 2 days a week for most people is great.
I wanted to address that part because if you were feeling burnt out, I actually might push you in the direction of like a MAPS 15.
Like 20 minutes a day.
Yeah.
15 minutes a day.
Because that's if I'm feeling burnt out, sometimes a full body workout for an hour, right? It feels too much. But doing two exercises every day actually feels a lot easier and better on my body. So maybe consider that, right? And both are incredible. You could absolutely do MAPS anabolic 2 days a week, see tremendous results. You could also do the MAPS 15 routine and actually get just as good of results also. So I would consider that. Like if you feel burnt out and that's the reason why you're scaling back to 2 days a week, maybe consider actually doing more days in the gym, just way less intensity and volume. Sometimes the body will respond even better to that.
It probably, a little every day is probably better than a lot, every other day or twice a week, even if you control the volume.
Yeah.
You know.
Next question is from Cassandra Sieg. What do you recommend for rotator cuff pain? Mobility, rest, strengthening other areas to support?
You know, rotator cuff pain in the context of somebody who works out regularly, because the typical deconditioned person, you're looking at overall weakness, overall, need to improve or increase your strength. And your pain is coming from just general overall weakness. With the person who works out consistently, this is more of an imbalance, or to put it more clearly, this is more to do
in one direction.
Yeah, this is more to do with a strength imbalance. Okay, so when you look at the traditional lifts, bench press, row, pull-ups, overhead press, you have these really big, strong, prime moving muscles: the chest, the deltoids, right? So the front head, the side head of the deltoid, the lats for these back exercise, rhomboids even for the shoulder blades, like really strong, big muscles. And then you have like the infraspinatus, supraspinatus, subscapularis, the teres minor. These are these little muscles that attach along the shoulder blade. It's called the cuff. And they, and on the humerus, so that's the long arm of the bone, and they maintain stability. They keep your arm from twisting off or from moving in the wrong direction. Because if you look
in that pocket.
Yeah, if you look at the shoulder joint, it's like the bone of the arm moves in the shoulder joint. Then you have the shoulder blade that also has, so it's a very complex
floating
joint. It's a very complex joint. It's one of our more complex joints because we evolved to throw with accuracy, and at least that's the argument. So when these stabilizers can't stabilize the weight that you can handle with these prime movers, these big prime movers, you develop problems. This is why big, strong people will all of a sudden hurt their shoulder because they grabbed a shampoo bottle wrong.
Symmetry than performance.
Yeah.
MAP symmetry.
Yeah. Symmetry and performance. I mean, to me, this is actually more common with people that have been lifting a lot. I used to get power lifters. I'd have powerlifting clients all the time because they've gotten so strong in one direction on these bilateral type of movements. And they just haven't addressed unilateral and stability stuff, right? This is why the first question, the argument of could you do unilateral work forever? This is one of the positive things of someone who trains unilaterally all the time, and especially and rotational.
Less likely to hit this. Well, you got to constantly assess your stability and your mobility and things like that as you're getting stronger, so you can balance that out and complement it. Because yes, you could get to a point where you can accelerate so quickly with your throw, or I could like lift so much more weight, but if you don't have that stability and structure in place to keep your joint healthy, then it all goes to
Look, think of it this way. You have a truck that's pulling a trailer. The strength of the truck matters up until you exceed the strength of the attachment to the trailer. Once the trailer attachment breaks, you can get as strong as you want with the truck. It's going to break. You can't pull anymore. This is what happens when your stabilizers don't match the muscles that move things. So you have to keep up the strength. So you can actually have strong stabilizer. In fact, the average lifter has strong stabilizers compared to the average person. They're just too strong in the other areas.
And this is also why when we originally started creating all the programs that we did, that we have the anabolic, the performance, and aesthetic was designed to be like ran in that order, yeah, and that you could recycle that order over and over, is because we're always coming back and addressing this with like unilateral and rotational work in performance. And so even though anabolic is very much so sagittal plane focused, aesthetic is very much so focused around building muscle, we want to make sure we always have that performance component in there so things like this don't happen.
Next question is from Fit Life with Gen 13. How does exercise and strength training improve brain function? I have a client recovering from meningitis and gets exhausted from focusing on movements and balance. I know it's good for brain health, just not sure about the science behind it.
Well, first off, the simple, very easy part to understand, there's some studies that have been done on this where the initial strength gains that somebody makes. So when you first start working out, you'll notice like from one workout to the next, like, wow, that's a huge improvement. Like I could only do one, now I could do five, right? You don't see that much later on. But they've tested, are there changes in the muscle fiber, or is it the central nervous system? Central, and of course, the brain is the hub of the central nervous system. It's the central, most of the gains you make in the beginning, especially, are the central nervous system. All right, so what's happening? Well, that your brain is controlling movement and muscle contractions. It has to develop and build along with your muscles. And as your muscles build, so does your brain. Your brain is attached to all. In fact, if you lost a limb, the part of the brain that is connected to that limb, or if you lost speech or you lost your eyes, you would start to potentially see some atrophy or some changes in that part of the brain. So it literally builds the brain because the brain controls the body. Now, strength training is amazing because it's so dynamic and moving in so many different directions, and I can rotate and I can go forward and back and whatever, and I have to balance. So it requires arguably more brain development in that sense.
I think we forget that. We think it's like automatic, but like as you're, you know, a child and you're having to go through all these developmental stages, like you're literally teaching your brain, you know, these patterns, and you get better at them, and then you get stronger and at these muscle contractions, and it all kind of follows in that alignment. It's the same thing with training, is, you know, we have to really like introduce it and introduce it more frequently and get that pattern established so we get stronger and we send an effective movement pattern.
Is it a fair comparison to say it's like reading for your vocabulary? Like doing reading more is going to
learn more words.
You're going to learn more words, increase your vocabulary. Your ability to strength train is like your body's ability to communicate. That communication itself is going to strengthen the brain.
Well,
it's
motor
kind of similar.
I always thought of it like a language.
Yeah, and Justin used a great example of motor skills with children. When they're assessing motor skills on children, they're not assessing your kid's muscles necessarily. They're looking at brain development.
Right.
So that's on the very surface level, and that's big, by the way. It's not just, you know, imagine that's not a big thing. But then there's more, right? There's your body's ability to utilize energy sources like glucose more effectively. Look, Alzheimer's, a lot of researchers now, especially, I remember when this was controversial, but now a lot of researchers refer to Alzheimer's and dementia as type 3 diabetes, because there's such a strong connection between having issues with using glucose for energy, like insulin sensitivity or resistance or diabetes, and brain dysfunction. The brain on a weight per weight basis uses a tremendous amount of energy. In fact, you ever seen the studies on chess players?
Yeah.
How many calories they burn?
Burn is crazy.
It's the brain. So when your body can utilize energy more effectively, it works better. And that includes your brain. So there's also a lot of interesting research in that area. In fact, there's a study that I quote all the time from Sydney, Australia, that shows that strength training stopped the progression of Alzheimer's, or seemed to. And nothing's been able to show that hasn't been like a medical intervention.
Well, I mean, we think when you wiggle your fingers, okay, the muscles wiggle the fingers right here, but it's the brain that communicates to those muscles that allow that to do that. Yeah. That in itself is training the brain.
Right.
So if you're trying to strengthen the brain, you lifting weights is, yes, effectively moving muscles, but it's the brain that communicates the ability to move those muscles. Therefore, of course, it's going to.
By the way, people think that we take it for granted. The reason why it's taken so long for scientists to be able to get robots that move like humans is there's a lot of physics involved with balancing and walking. And you ever seen the physics involved with like throwing a ball or catching a ball?
Mm-hmm.
Like your brain has to process.
The amount of math that you do in order to throw a fastball is incredible.
It's crazy. So movement in general is one of the best ways to reduce, to prevent the reduction of brain function. Building muscle in particular seems to be one of the best ways to do it. Look, if you love the show, head over to mindpumpfree.com and check out all of our free guides. We have a lot of free fitness guides that can help you with your health and fitness goals. You can also find us on Instagram. Justin is at mindpumpjustin. I'm at mindpumpdestefano, and Adam is at mindpumpadam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.